We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
Bonus episode alert here, boys. Bonus episode alert. There we go. Put Jay in the middle here.
I don't want to be in the middle.
YouTube channel.
Bonus alert. Hit me.
So we're going to go through some of the juiciest NFL draft rumors that are floating around here in the 2 days leading up to Thursday's draft. Now, things can change quickly. There could be more juicy rumors that come out. But
Lying season.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait to hear some of these.
Well, Jay, you're an agent. Have you lied to anyone? Do you ever float a lie to a team?
Huh? Have you?
I mean, you don't lie. You might stretch the truth.
Oh, okay.
But hit them with the ding.
Here's the thing. I think agents overplay their hand a lot. And I think teams are really smart. They are. They've heard it all. Right? And teams will do things to try and get you off your spot as an agent a lot. Right? So every agent should have a plan when you reach out. Like, I think I was talking to you guys before the show. I think as an agency, we will have reached out to 5 to 10 people each team to gather information, right? I've been on the phone nonstop for the last 2 weeks. And part of that is we're trying to gather as much information from them as they are from us, right? Information in this world is key.
Yep.
And so we're trying to see if X scout tells us, hey, we have him on his board from a 4th to 5th. Right. And then another scout's like, oh, we have him as a PFA. And then another scout says 4 to 5. Another scout says 4 to 5. Another scout says 4 to 5. And then you're like, okay, well, what was the purpose of them telling me that he was a PFA? Right. Like, and then you can circle back, especially if you say you talk to 2 or 3 guys from a team and you see that on our notes list, it says like, hey, these two guys said that he's a 6th to 7th rounder. And then you talk to another team, like, yeah, you know, I think that we have him as a 6th to 7th. And they'll go, you know, we think we have him as a 4th. Like, and they're trying to get you off your spot. And you're like, no, I think that'd be great. I'd love if he go in the 4th. But, you know, we're probably more in that 5 to 6, 7 range, right? Because they're then trying to go on the other side. Like, hey, can we move him off his spot? Is he telling us a lie? Because then they're going to go check with their other buddies and say, hey, what did he tell you? Right? And so it's this constant cat and mouse game of not overplaying your hand and obviously selling your client for the best that he can get and where he's going to be. But there's also a realistic piece of this where if I come out guns blazing and say, hey, this dude's a 3rd rounder, right? Like, he's a 3rd rounder, 100%, no doubt about it, he's a 3rd rounder. And in reality, he's more of a 4th or a 5th. Well, those teams might take what I say for truth and be like, well, that's too rich for us. So we might as well just take him off our board and drop him down the stack in the 4th and 5th because he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Right. So the lying thing can backfire on you in a huge way as an agent. Now, do you stretch some things? Absolutely. Right. You got to play the game just like the team will stretch things back and forth. But I've never outright lied to a team about a player just because I don't think it's worth it.
Very noble. We have a noble agent here on the show.
Probably the only one in the league. Congratulations.
It does your player a disservice too. Like, you lie to you are your player's representation to the front, to the NFL right now. Like, I am the face of my player. And you, believe it or not, young players, you will be judged off who you select as your agent. Like, there are certain teams that are like, I freaking hate dealing with that guy. Right? And there's ones like, hey, I have a lot of respect for him and what he's done. Right? There's a give and take. And so if you want to set your client up for failure, be a liar and be a backstabber and go back on words and lie, and then they're going to walk in the building going, well, you picked him as your agent, so what kind of character are you?
Yeah. Dude, well, that's so true. Hey, I remember when I signed my agent to go do the holdout, the minute I signed them, everybody knew I was holding out because they were the only agents that had done it. And so they were, I remember we were kind of, I don't know where we were, but I remember signing them, and instantly I remember getting like a text message or a phone call that was like, I see how it is now. And I was like, what? And they were like, we already know where this is going. And I was like, wow, they weren't kidding. You really select who you think you're going to be representing. I mean, you. It's not everybody knows who everybody is. And
well, I mean, so Rick Spielman said it a couple of years ago. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, we have a list. We have a list of the agents that we know have lied to us outright, or a list that tell us, like, we tell a guy in the pre-draft process, oh, no, he's perfectly healthy. There's not a single thing wrong with him, and we're hiding it. Yeah. Right? We're hiding it. He gets on the team. And all of a sudden they find out he's got an injury, he's going to miss time. They're going to write that down and be like, agent is liar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they have a little black book. Every team has a little black book of every dealing they've had with every agent they've ever worked with to be able to go back to and say, can we trust this guy or can we not?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Hopefully you stay on the good side of the little black book here. So, okay, I'm going to throw out some juicy rumors here from different credible reporters and publications, and you guys tell me what you think. Now, we did a little bit of Patriots discussion in our exercise on the other episode this week about where do we think the quarterbacks are going to land. But let's dive a little bit deeper into the Patriots situation at three. So juicy rumor number one here comes from Mike Reese, longtime beat writer covering the Patriots for ESPN.com. Yep. He says, this is a franchise-altering opportunity for the Patriots. And as GM Elliott Wolf and first-year head coach Gerard Mayo have previously said, the only way they're moving down from three is if another team offers an unprecedented deal, a godfather offer, so to speak. Leaving the door open for that possibility is good business more than anything. They are saying we're open for business. But Mike Reese is hearing, barring an unexpected blockbuster trade offer, according to sources, the Patriots will move forward with a plan that's been in the works for weeks, getting a quarterback at three.
They will, dude. I don't think that's wrong at all. And I know that Jay earlier talked about how they don't have any weapons around him. I don't see them getting the weapons and then the player. I just see this league as a, we need to win now, especially for a Gerard Mayo. Like, everybody can sit back and be like, oh, he's a new coach, he's fresh at this. But at the same time, if you go 2-15, you're going to get fired. And so at some point you have to stop. And Jay, you know what I'm talking about when they're like, hey, we'll worry about next year. We'll worry about this year, because we have to put fans in the seats. We have to win games, or the dude all the way at the top is going to be fucking pissed at us.
I got
to
take a phone call, my friends.
Agent things happening.
Agent duties.
Jay will be back.
Black him out. Yeah, now that he's gone, dude, let's talk for real. You know that the Patriots are going with the quarterback.
What a douchebag that Jeremiah guy. Oh, wait.
Love him.
Dude, but no. Don't you? Okay, I know you think they're
going
quarterback.
I see them going quarterback. Yes, all the way.
Here's, and I know that I said that they're going to trade it. I'm kind of back. I still think they're going to trade it, but I think they're going to also draft a core. I think they're going to trade, get draft capital, maybe
move
back to
six.
100%. But here's
my concern. Vikings method. I'll continue trading all the way back until I get to where I need to absolutely be to get the maybe the last talented player that we can get. I know exactly what that is.
Until I get all the seventh round picks.
Dude, I've seen the last 25 drafts. I know how this goes. I've talked to these GMs. Now that you like tell them jokes and they don't laugh, you're like, I get why you do what you do now in the draft. But at the same time, this is their year to be like, hey, there's a lot of great quarterbacks. We can go in right now and get one of the top guys. And yeah, we can find weapons in the draft for him. We can go out there and have a plan for him to have him succeed. But at the same time, I just don't see as many teams being like, next year. It's just not how they operate, in my opinion. They're more like, we got to win now. We have to do something now. There's a talented class here right now. Who's to say I have this job in 6 months? Nobody. Let's go out and get the best quarterback we can. What's a king's ransom to? Like, are you asking for two firsts this year, a first next year, a first down the road? Like, at some point, people are going to be like, dude, I can't sell my whole farm for this. Why? Trey Lance. People sell the farm, and all of a sudden, people are like, you better produce. Now, they're lucky Mr. Irrelevant was on the team, but at the same time, I see the Patriots going in a quarterback and Drake May.
Here's where I'm at with this. I feel like it would be a potential disaster for whoever they draft to put that starter in week one and expect that starter to save the franchise. Boy, we've been in purgatory since Tom Brady left. Drake May, please save our middling franchise here with a first-year defensive head coach. You've got no weapons anywhere. You know, on the other episode we did this week, we talked about in the Who's the Mike segment, the situation you get drafted into really being the determining factor of like how your career plays out.
Yep.
You know, Sam Darnold, I know Patriots fans are going to cringe when I compare the Jets train wreck organization. Like the Patriots have been this model organization for the better part of 25 years.
Different.
They're on down times now. I get it. But like there's been dudes like Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or Mitch Trubisky that have been talented enough to be in the mix as top five, top 10 draft picks. And they get selected by a garbage organization that needs saving.
Yeah.
So are the Patriots in a spot with the infrastructure to give that quarterback a chance, or should they keep building the infrastructure? That's my biggest question here. I think there's what will they do and what should they do. I think you're right. What will they do? Draft a quarterback. What should they do? I would make sure that I have someone to throw to, preferably two or three people. I would make sure that my trenches are solidified on both sides, and I would...
What should they need? I mean, they're going to need help up there. They're going to need weapons. But at the same time, who says you start him right away? There's always that saving grace.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett can start.
Right. Yeah. And there's always been the saving grace of a team pushing out the right narrative. Like, sometimes you see these teams that are like, oh, yeah, you know, we just expected a lot or whatever it is. Instead, this is a different draft. Hey, we're drafting this kid. We don't expect him to be the week one starter. We expect to groom him. We expect to find some pieces for him. But we expect him to start learning our system, our offense, all these things. That I could totally see that happening. I mean, the league has changed. And you look, I think, honestly, in my opinion, Patrick Mahomes changed it. The minute he got drafted, and we talked about this on the last OLC, the minute he got drafted, everyone was kind of like, what is going on? They have a starter. They just took a guy like, oh, yeah, no, he's going to sit. He can sit. Nah, it's no big deal. He's going to learn. And the minute that happened, people were like, that's not a bad idea. I kind of like that.
Because it comes from a place where you're not desperate for that guy to save you, right? He comes in.
And you don't want to hurt him. What could be worse? I mean, dude, honestly, it's like the coaches say. There's nothing worse than no film other than bad film. If you put out bad film, people can never unsee that. But if you put out no film, then there's always the potential of what could be. What are they grooming? What are we waiting for? And all of a sudden, it's like we're waiting for the right time. We don't want this kid to get out there and get hurt. But at the same time, here's a talented player that we could use for the next 10, 15 years. Why are we going to wait till next year to get him in here?
Okay, next rumor here. You make a lot of good points here. Okay. This is from SportsKita.com. Tony Pauline of SportsKita.com is hearing that Sean Payton is prepared to, quote, mortgage the franchise's future to get a top quarterback in this draft. Here's the write-up. Tony Pauline of SportsKita.com, bookmark it, folks. I'm sure it's a great website. Hears that Sean Payton is not merely willing to contemplate a move up the board. The former Super Bowl winning head coach, who narrowly missed out on drafting Patrick Mahomes in 2017, they were going to maybe draft him in New Orleans as the successor to Drew Brees, is reportedly prepared to, quote, mortgage the franchise's future to acquire one of the top passer prospects in the 2024 class. I don't know what mortgage the future means, but...
Yeah, what does that mean?
Are the...
Like, do I see it?
All of your first round picks, like
I do. I think
Broncos
it drives him nuts.
Position?
Yeah, they are. And Sean Payton's the kind of coach that's probably driving him nuts that he doesn't have a Drew Brees back there to throw gunsling these balls. I mean, dude, that's one of the things that we talked about on the last show was we see them trading up now. Who do they get? That's going to be interesting, and that's why I find this draft so awesome is because there's teams in the top 10 that could trade back, and there's teams that are in the top 15 that need to trade up. And then at the same time, it's like, who does everybody love? Because everyone's going to love a different guy for a different reason, right? Like, obviously, Caleb Williams is going to be off the board to everybody. So after that, it's kind of like, who's our guy? Are we willing to trade up? Are we willing to give the Patriots what they want? But the Broncos, you're talking about Sean Payton, an offensive genius who just needs someone to be able to sling that ball down the field and make good reads. Like, dude, it's got to be driving him nuts to try and get into the top five. Easily. I could easily see it's either going to be them or the Vikings that jump up into the top five, in my opinion. Yeah. To get a quarterback.
So right now, like the Broncos, here's the thing. Like if it's Broncos or Vikings, the Vikings have a lot more ammunition because the Vikings have the 11, the Broncos have the 12, but the Vikings have the 23. Mm-hmm. The Broncos' next pick is the 76. They don't have a second round pick. The Vikings don't either.
You have players though, and you'd also have next year. I mean, there's a lot to mortgage. That's why it's like, what does? And I hate this type of season because it's like, what is a Godfather deal? Give us an example. Three first rounders over the next 3 years. Are you asking for players? Are you asking for what? Like, I think whatever it is, the Broncos would probably be the most. All right, we're in. And here's the problem too, though, is I see the Raiders also being like, hey, we're in too. Like, there's these teams in the 10 to 15 are like, who's willing to deal, right? Like,
yeah. And Peyton's too, like, if you're Sean Payton, you're just kind of done dicking around with.
Oh, yeah. No, I want my guy. Get me. We'll trade anything we can, dude. I it's going to be so fun to see all these teams trying to jump in.
He took that job, and I wonder if, because he inherited Russell Wilson, I'm sure he went in thinking, you know what, I can make this work. Let me work with Russell Wilson. We'll go sit together at some sporting events, and
that's what he said. I heard him on an interview.
Water. Okay,
because they asked him one time. They were, who was the coach before Sean? It was
Nate Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah,
it was Hackett. Complete disaster.
And so there, I remember on a Sunday Night Football, they were asking him when he was doing it, and they were like, "What would you do differently?" He was like, "Well, I would just sit Russ down, and I would ask him, what do you want to run?" And we would go over it. And it was like, clearly this guy's already thought about this job, and he wants in. And the minute he got in there, he was like, okay, we can't do any of this. Okay, this is like Russ 5 years ago. Dude, what can you do now? And now he's like, I agree. Let's go. We're in the Patrick Mahomes division. We have the Raiders in this division who are going to be spicy this year. The Chargers are going to be ready to roll with Harbaugh. Like, if you're going in, you're going in right now.
Actually, you bring up a great point. So Kansas City sort of like reset and won Super Bowls at the same time, right? They kind of move off Tyreek Hill. We're going to reset the cap over here and then just win back-to-back Super Bowls while doing it. They're not going anywhere. Andy Reid just signed a 5-year extension. He's not retiring anytime in the next couple of years.
No.
Your guy Jim Harbaugh has a track record of winning everywhere. He's in the division. If you're the Raiders and the Broncos and you're looking around at Herbert and Harbaugh and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you do probably feel some pressure to figure out what is your situation right now. I know they're not garbage teams. Like, they're both sitting around 8-9 wins, whatever. But don't you probably feel some pressure to take a risk and figure out, okay, maybe we need to go get Drake May, even if there's a 70% chance it doesn't work or we're giving up too
absolutely
much. Otherwise, dude, like, what are we going to be in this division for?
Exactly. If you can't win your division or even come in the top two, what the hell are you even doing? What are you fighting for? Like, once again, it goes back to Jay's old thing of like, well, we'll get one next year. And it's like, that doesn't last very long. As a matter of fact, a month into the season, that excuse does not work anymore. So you better come prepared. And that's why I think that they're a sneaky dark horse to jump up in here and be like, all right, we'll take the fifth pick. And everyone be like, we did not see this. I'm telling you, dude, Antonio Pierce is crazy. I'm excited. I can't wait. Give me some more juiciness. Give me something that you think is not real.
I've got a couple other juicy rumors here. Agent he's guy, back. Jeremiah is back from doing agent things.
Here, we have to be back.
You have to unmute your mic.
We have to be calm now. Let's not talk about it. We didn't say
there he is. Add another sticky note to the pile.
Sticky note.
You think I'm joking? I'll send you guys a picture. My entire monitor is just covered in sticky notes.
Yeah,
so I
missed a lot. You missed a lot.
I'm sure I did.
We got a couple more juicy rumors we're going to get to.
Everything so far has been pretty on point. So haven't thought of. No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Nothing too crazy.
Give me something juicy, dude.
I'll give you something juicy. Yeah, I'll give you something juicy from our friends at Aura. Our new friends at Aura. That's right. We have a new partner here on the O-line committee. You guys are all about protection and security, protecting quarterbacks. Aura is all about protecting our listeners against data brokers who sell your information online. You ever do a Google search for your name, your full name, email, home address? It's all out there. It's kind of unsettling.
Bastards.
Yeah. In fact, AT&T recently revealed that over 73 million customer records, both existing and former customers, were released on the dark web. That's where Aura comes in, because they will help you make sure that you have strong passwords. They'll monitor account activity and handle things that need to be handled on the security front for you. That's concerned parent Jeremiah. There's also parental controls you can
like
tap into.
It's such a concerned parent. I cannot get over that picture.
I love my kids, okay? I love my kids. I want them protected.
What you can do is, it's probably more for Boone with older kids, but you can literally monitor like what percentage of time is spent on each app and things like that. And you can shut the faucet off for a certain app. Mm-hmm. Aura gives you all of the control. It's extremely easy to set up, and you can help the show and yourselves by going to aura.com/O-line committee to start your free 2-week trial.
Nothing. Who's just giggling over there like a child?
Nothing.
I'm going to put you on parental controls. I'm going to put Aura on
your phone.
I'm going to put Aura on your phone without you knowing. All of a sudden, your screen limit's going to be up on Instagram. What happened? Better call me your password.
Yeah, you can help the show specifically too, and yourselves, by signing up at aura.com/O-line committee and start your free 2-week trial. It's also linked below in the description here on YouTube.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Juicy. That's a juicy one.
I like
one.
That juicy.
It is a juicy one, yeah. Okay. Nice. Let's get to this one here. This is a little juicier.
Mm. Hit me.
And I have another follow-up off of this one. I'll give you two back-to-back, same category. Per ESPN's Adam Schefter, two teams that have expressed the most interest in moving up the board are the Vikings and the Giants. And according to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, if the Patriots take Drake May at pick number 3, the Vikings are comfortable standing down and taking Bo Nix at either 11 or 23.
I don't know if I see
over Penix.
I don't know if I see that.
I don't.
A very well-connected league source told Yahoo Sports they firmly believe if the Patriots take Drake May, the Vikings are comfortable just chilling and waiting for a quarterback, Bo Nix specifically, to fall to either 11 or 23. It doesn't know.
I don't think JJ's there at 11. Yeah. Personally, I think he should be, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's there at 11.
That's an interesting one.
The Giants trading up is... I've been in the camp, and I've kind of put myself in the camp of Daniel Jones as their guy. Right? Like, and I put myself in that camp. We talked about it in the first episode. The only reason I see them wanting to move themselves up is if they feel like he's not going to be ready to play this year or till like mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's the case, then that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense to be like, hey, if Daniel's not ready... Or he's not on track to be the day one starter and not going to be here for all of OTAs and maybe even miss a lot of training camp. We need a plan B and we need a guy that can go. And then best case scenario, Daniel is okay and we can sit him and redshirt him for a year, right? Do the Mahomes plan. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that is going to be the Joe Sheen, Brian Daboll plan if they do decide to trade up and go get a quarterback.
That makes more sense. I would agree with that, but... We talked about that actually while you were gone. The Patrick Mahomes thing of sitting guys for a year, it makes total sense these days. Like, this is what teams have started to shield themselves from.
But we know that that should make sense. The problem is it's not the world in which we live in.
They get nervous. People start chanting the rookie's name.
Rookie. Dude, we don't have any coaches. They're like, shut up. He's not coming out because he don't want to break his neck.
GMs and coaches make decisions mostly based on how to stay employed for another year.
Yeah.
Or how to just calm the fires versus the long-term 5 to 10 year health of a franchise.
I've talked to you about the fear tree in the NFL, right? Have I mentioned that to you? So there's tree, right? The players have a healthy fear of their positional coach. The positional coach has a healthy fear of the coordinators, right? Coordinators to the head coach to the GM to the owners. The only people the owners are afraid of are the fans.
Yeah.
Are the people that put the butts in the seats. And so if things aren't going well, the first table to fall, the first ball to roll will be the owner going to the GM and going, I was really excited when you told me you wanted to draft this young QB. Forgetting every conversation they had before it of like, we want to redshirt this guy.
Yeah.
Right? We want to redshirt. And the owner's like, sounds great. Cool. It's week 10. You're a 3-win team. And the owner's sitting there getting nervous because he's reading the press clippings. Ticket sales are down. Concession sales are down. And he's going to go to the GM and be like, hey, put the young kid in.
Yeah.
And guess whose name is at the bottom of every single one of those people's checks? The owner. And that's how the world we live in now, you push a young quarterback out there before he's ready. Because fans can drive the narrative and can drive it all based off of their support or lack of support for a football
team. So you're saying we, the three of us on microphones, really are the ones that run the show in the NFL? Because if we can make enough
tell
noise...
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's true.
If teams make enough noise, if people make enough noise and narratives and drumbeats get started, like, at the end of the day, there is one person who has final say, period, and is the owner of the team. Right, and if they start coming down and they come down on the GM, guess who he's going to come down on? The head coach, the coordinator, and all the way down to where a decision's going to be made that is maybe not the best move for the long-term plan of the team, but the owner wants it right now, and you're not going to argue with the owner.
And you know who sits at the bottom of that fear tree, all the way at the very, very bottom in the dark?
The O-line. Sitting in the corner.
All by ourselves, minding our fucking business. That's how it goes, man.
Good little soldiers, man.
That's right, we
strap
are.
Strap up and go.
Yes, sir.
Just march out there. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though, that of all the teams, I'm assuming Schefter has had a million conversations with everyone, for him to be this specific in the last 24 hours saying that the Vikings and Giants are the two teams most interested in moving up.
Then it sounds like DJ's not ready. Yeah.
Yeah, or I think it says that there's not confidence that he's, once the guaranteed money is out, that they're looking to put someone else in that room and compete and be the Giants quarterback of the future. So
we shall see.
It's going to be so fun. 2 days away.
But I don't know about, man, the Vikings standing at 11, you're rolling some dice. You're rolling some serious dice.
Dude, you got to think the Broncos are going to try and jump up. We've talked about it.
Well, that's the thing. You're just sitting there from pick five on. You're basically just sitting there clenched butthole, hoping you don't see the trade there. The pick has been traded.
And who's to say that Atlanta's not
going to trade? It just falls down the line. Okay, receiver. There goes Dallas. Okay, there goes Dallas Turner. The first edge rusher's off the board. Okay, there goes Latu. Okay, we're getting to our pick. And, like, you're just praying that a quarterback's still sitting there at 11. And that's the risk. I don't know if KOC and Kwesi are ready to sit there and just pucker factor for
But this is the other thing we don't. I mean, KOC was not. It's a funny thing to have leaked out this way, but he was at a church in Plymouth, Minnesota, which is a suburb like 15, 20 minutes to the west of Minneapolis. And he was just there as like a speaker at a church for the audience and whatever. And a huge Vikings fan gets up on the microphone for a Q&A and asks a very specific question about, okay, so let's say you got two quarterbacks, like, you know, one of them's Drake May and, you know, footwork is a problem, but, you know, what's fixable, what's not? And Kevin O'Connell essentially gushed over the concept of a Drake May and explained how fixable. Like, I believe that certain things are fixable, certain things aren't. Footwork is fixable. They've called me, he said, the quarterback killer here internally because I have shot down where they've maybe in the last couple of years been close to drafting, and I'm just speculating, like a Will Levis who falls, and he has shot down these different ideas. What I'd love to know is, of the five quarterbacks in question beyond Caleb Williams, how many would Kevin O'Connell shoot down out of hand because that thing's not coachable, that thing over there's not coachable? Maybe it's possible his list includes two guys. Drake May, gone in the first three picks, and Bo Nix, or, you know, according to this report. Maybe Penix isn't even, maybe he thinks like, oh, sorry, whatever this is not coachable with Penix.
Yeah.
That's the thing we don't know.
And that's the thing where, regardless of whoever the Vikings pick, I think that KOC will take it as a badge of honor, and he's going to hang his entire career on I can fix and I can develop, regardless of who he picks. But I do think it's fair of him to say, like, I want my guy. And he can be the killer all he wants, because at the end of the day, he's going to be the one that gets fired or not based off of this pick.
Right.
Okay, you guys want some more juiciness?
More juice.
This one comes from, I believe this is also a Schefter update here.
Ooh, Schefty.
The NFL might be on the verge of punishing the Falcons for tampering.
Heard about
this. That's the rumor.
Oh, yeah.
So the it's amazing how quickly a four-year, $180 million, whatever it was, deal can come in, right? So we've never talked before. We've never met. And an hour and a half later, now we've got a complicated contract in place. So the NFL is investigating, and both Mike Florio and Adam Schefter are speculating, educated speculation, that a punishment might come down before the draft on Thursday. Some precedent. Last year, Arizona's tampering with Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon resulted in the two teams swapping third-round picks, the 68 for the 94, and the Cardinals getting a fifth-round pick this year from Philadelphia. The Dolphins forfeited a 2023 first and a 2024 third for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton.
I remember that.
On a yacht with the owner, right? And then the Chiefs forfeited their 2016 third-round pick and a 17 sixth-rounder for tampering with Jeremy Maclin back in 2015. Do you think, let's say they find out, the Falcons were definitely, like, the Cousins were packing boxes in the weeks leading up.
They were just looking through their stuff. They were just doing spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning.
Should they have to give up, like, should they have to swap the 8 and the 11? Like, what do you
Can I be honest? Happens here? I think it's all a bunch of bullshit. Dude, this stuff happens so much. To be like, oh, there's tampering, like, number one, Kirk, you're an idiot. Like, why are you talking so much? Like, oh, I talked to the trainers on Tuesday. Well, this didn't start till Wednesday. How are you talking? Like, those mistakes. Remember we talked about, like, what don't you say to the media?
Yeah.
Those are the things that you don't say. But here's where I stand. Even though it's happening everywhere, and I mean everywhere, if you get caught doing it, yes, you should have to give something big just for being like, y'all are really that stupid down there? Okay, here we go. Let me take your first away from you. Just to be like, don't do this, because I think at some point the fans see it and they're like, well, if they're not following any of the rules, what are they doing, right? Like, rules are there to be in place so that people don't do dumb things. And the minute people start admitting that they're doing it, everyone's like, oh, it's okay. That's when people are like, well, why the hell do you have the rule then? Why are you, what do you do? Are you a professional organization and you set rules and you just break them and nobody cares? Like, at some point you have to lay down the punishment for it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that it's not as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. Like, this shit happens in the league, right? Like, everyone knows that free agency starts the day the combine begins, right? Like, that's just, it's an always rule, right? And you're careful about it and you don't put things in writing and all that stuff. But, like, I do think that there is a piece of it that the league still sees themselves as this upstanding moral, we have the code and we'll stand by it. And so when something like this is as public as it is with the biggest quarterback signing of the year, something has to happen. Do I think it warrants swapping first? No. Do I think it warrants maybe like a third and a fourth just to say like, hey, we caught you, this is a no-no, like tisk tisk on you? Yes, I do think that you have to, at least if there is tangible evidence, right? And they can do that and be like, no, there is tangible, like, this started
text messages, this, yeah.
Text messages, whatever it might be. If there is some of that, there has to be some type of action.
Not a first, dude? Come on. That would shake
but
this.
Why?
It would
why the first? Why a first?
Because you got paid $180 million and you broke the code. What do you mean, why the first? You're paid like the highest dude in the NFL and you're over here telling them that you talked before you were allowed to? Dude, are we?
Well, the other question is, should it just be a Falcons punishment? Or if you're the Vikings, you're like, well, wait a second. That's our guy, man. Like, we wanted to have
a
fair shot.
Agent.
That's the problem. Like, yeah, you can't really give it to the Vikings, so you just take away theirs and be like, well, since you couldn't play by the rules and follow the rules, we're just going to take this away. I guarantee it'll never happen again.
I mean, it's one thing if it was like he had another year on his contract and all of a sudden he wanted to be out and all that type of stuff. But like, I feel like just because, well, I mean,
but
he was
Jonathan,
going into free agency.
But Jonathan Gannon was free to go take a head coaching job, and they gave the Eagles something, right? They swapped the third round picks. So, you know.
I mean, the Vikings might just honestly luck out in this. Like, I don't think the Vikings were ever going to sign back Kirk Cousins.
I agree.
Right?
What, like, if they wind up getting the eighth overall pick?
If they end up getting the eighth overall pick because they allowed Kirk Cousins to walk, good on them. Like, they honestly
Kirk,
might
Kirk,
just luck into
thanks for the
this.
One playoff victory and the eighth overall pick in, like, 6 years. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, appreciate you. Like, the Vikings would come out of this just so happy, so ecstatic. Yeah. I mean, I think they'll get something. I don't know. I don't think it warrants a first-round swap.
Why
okay.
not? Shake it
More-
up.
More juicy rumors here, okay? This is from Pro Football Talk. When 49ers general manager John Lynch was asked on Monday whether he thinks Brandon Ayuk will be traded this week, Lynch said, I wouldn't anticipate that.
He ain't going nowhere.
That's a far cry from no, Mike Florio writes. It leaves the door open for a trade, and according to Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle, a deal can't be ruled out, sending Brandon Ayuk somewhere for draft capital.
That's just good business. That's just good business, right? That's him saying, like, no, I don't anticipate him going anywhere, but it leaves the door open for all of a sudden a huge phone call comes in, right? Or at least allows someone that maybe thought Ayuk was 100% completely safe to be like, well, he might as well Might as well put a feeler in there. Right. Right? Just slide a note under the door, right? Well, what do you think about this?
And it is, it's funny the way that John Lynch framed this, right? Like, so Jeremiah, you're happily married. Are you looking to maybe leave your marriage? I wouldn't anticipate that. Like, oh, it's, yeah. No, I love my wife. Yeah. No,
it's not a hard no. We see it too. Believe me, when we're in the locker room and we see these guys talking like this, we're like, you know what that means, right?
Yeah,
you know what that means. Like, his ass is on the trading block. Something's up. Like, dude, the minute that they're not like if you were to ask about Patrick Mahomes, is he up for trade? They'd be like,
no.
Are you crazy? That's a hard no.
We wouldn't the anticipate they're like, trading Patrick Mahomes.
What are you thinking? Like, just curious. What are you thinking?
They run
that,
like,
dude. They run that right upstairs, guys. Right, we got like, offered this, hey, this, and this. What are we thinking?
Hypothetically, if we were to get this, that, and the other thing, it'd be a conversation, right? And that's essentially what he's saying. Like, hey, yeah, no, I'm not anticipating it, but I mean, you come at me with something that I didn't anticipate. Well, then maybe it's in the conversation. Like, right. That was just good business by him of just seeing maybe there's a bigger market out there than he anticipated for. Brandon Ayuk, but they'd be dumb to let him go.
I agree.
That'd be a really dumb move by them.
And to be fair, like, you got to remember, these guys are businessmen. The GMs are like the biggest businessmen. And the one thing I always learned was everything is for sale, Booney. Everything. Like, everything has a price and it has to go eventually. And you're like, you don't think about it like that because you're thinking about it as like a team, but you're like, eventually this commodity will run out. And if we can get something for it, we will take something for it if we know that we're not going to pay it down the road. Like, when you really sit with these guys, you are looked at as an object. And it's at first you're a little baffled and upset. And then you're like, oh, well, I guess this is just the world I live in now. And they're like, eventually the wheels will turn off for you and we're going to want to trade you too, bro. Like, this is how it goes. And you're like, really? You're not going to love me forever? And they're like, no, we don't even love you now. Like, we deal with your shit.
Yeah.
And until somebody wants to trade you away and then you're gone.
You're a pawn in a much larger scheme.
It's okay. Just accept it. Move on. You're a cool piece.
What is our, we should do, this might be a fun episode for the summertime, but just thinking about the 49ers right now and like Ayuk, Eric Debo. Armstead gone, Ayuk maybe traded, but we'll see, you know, this amazing team that's been to the Super Bowl twice in a handful of years and they haven't paid it off. What is the Mount Rushmore of best teams, like not franchises, but like best periods for a team to never, I mean, the Buffalo Bills.
Bills are for sure in
straight,
there.
That's the George Washington on the Mount Rushmore. Yep. You know, I mean, well, the 70s Vikings are probably in there, the Purple People Eaters.
You could even say before the Broncos won their first, right?
The 80s.
The early 90s. Early Elway days.
Yep. They went to three.
Three.
Early.
Yep.
That's a great one right there.
I mean, dude, these Niners might be putting themselves on there quickly if they don't
do
something.
Can they get there one more time and lose to go higher up on the...
Get up on the Rushmore.
What a terrible thing.
It's hard to push the ball back the hill, man.
It really is,
over
guys.
Over and over
it's hard.
And over again.
Over.
Like, it's tough.
I remember being there taking the notebooks, like just ripping. I'm like, this just means nothing anymore. I took all these notes for nothing. Took all these fucking notes for nothing. Ran all those sprints. Nothing. Water under the bridge, Booney. It's water under the bridge. You know, I hate that. I hate it.
Yeah. So those are your juicy rumors here just a couple days before.
By the way, nothing that was like draft. At all. Like, I was hoping to hear like the Chiefs are planning on trading into the top five.
Well, do you want me to start reading through CT ESPN's Twitter account?
CT ESPN, go there. Let's go see what they got.
Dude, CT ESPN, Antonio Brown is all in on the Justin Herbert trade.
Listen.
He's literally like sending screenshots of DMs.
Here's what I want to know.
But
why did Darisaw get thrown into that?
He talked about a pick that we don't have. He talked about a pick that doesn't exist. And that's when I was like, no.
It's a little foggy.
Done.
It's CT. Darisaw
in there. We're not trading Darisaw to the Chargers. What the hell are you talking about?
I'd give up Darisaw for Herbert.
Would you give up?
I'd do it.
The 11, the 23.
Who's going to protect
Darisaw.
Him?
Yes.
Chicken before the egg? Who's going to protect him? Schlottman? What are you going to put Bradbury out there?
You draft one. There's plenty of good tackles in this league, in this draft.
Next year's first round pick you could preserve.
Yeah.
By the way, Darisaw is going to be in the market for a big contract.
Right. They're going to have to pay
him. Love Herbert. And these people, quick side street.
I'm not
even
doing
this for you
guys.
These people who are like, well, you just moved off a big contract, a quarterback that couldn't win. Wait a second. 10-year difference.
Yes.
Watch them play.
Herbert's
they are
way different.
Not the same quarterback.
Way different.
Herbert's
way different.
Stallion.
Oh, pff. It's kind of tough, too. I'm not going to lie. Like, really, really tough. Like,
yeah. I like
eat those shots and keep getting up tough.
You think about Herbert and the KOC system?
I'm not giving Darisaw up, though. You guys are idiots. No.
I give him up for Herbert.
No, I'm not.
I do.
You're the worst GM I've ever seen. Hey, I know you just got hurt and you're coming off surgery, but we just got rid of one of the best left tackles in the league. Don't worry. We'll find somebody in the draft that's young, full of excitement. It's ready to go. Didn't I just talk about the Panthers having a rookie left out? Okay. I just wondered. I was just making sure. I was just totally making sure.
Let's just say ESPN's batting average has been a bit low the last few weeks.
And I don't think they can pay the bills. So I don't think they get a voice in all this, okay? That whole football team that got shut down. Like, dude, what the hell is going on over there? No, dude. Stop it. Not bringing this diva on.
His historic run's coming to an end.
Divas.
It all started when we went after Caitlin Clark, man. Can't go after Caitlin Clark.
No, dude, you can't do that.
It all went downhill from there.
Everybody was quick to be like, ah.
Yeah.
Even I was like, dude, that's not cool. That. You want to make fun of a football player? I'll let you do that all day. You can say whatever you want about these idiots. The minute you go after a woman, I'm out of this one, dude.
I was out.
I'm out.
So the verdict is we don't trust CT ESPN necessarily. We'll
no.
But there's truth to all rumors.
Yep. There's smoke to all fires.
Here we go.
We'll see.
All right, that's a wrap on the O-line committee. Juicy draft week rumors.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.